columns and open courtyards, baking in the desert sun. American and European archaeologists had spent many years and much money uncovering and restoring these pagan ruins. And then they had left because of tribal suspicion and, more recently, Al-Qaeda activity. Such a waste of time and money, thought the panther. He looked forward to the day when the Western tourists stopped coming, and this temple and the surrounding pagan ruins returned to the shifting desert sands. Wasim al-Rahib glanced at the tall, bearded Bedouin and wondered why he had joined the Belgian tour group. Wasim had made his arrangements with the local tribal sheikh, Musa, paying the man $100 American for the privilege of visiting this national historic site. Also, of course, the money bought peace. The promise that no Bedouin tribesmen would annoy, hinder, or in any way molest the tour group. So, Wasim wondered, why was this Bedouin here? The panther noticed that the tour guide was looking at him, and he returned the stare until the guide turned back to his group. There were no other tourists at the temple today. Only one or two groups each week ventured out from the capital of Sana'a, 200 kilometers to the west. The panther remembered when these famous ruins attracted more Westerners. But unfortunately, because of the recent reports of Al-Qaeda activity in this province of Merib, many tourists stayed away. He smiled. Also because of this situation, the Belgians had arrived with an armed escort of 20 men from the National Security Bureau, a paramilitary police force whose job it was to protect tourists on the roads and at historic sites. The tourists paid for this service, which was money well spent, thought the panther. But unfortunately for these Westerners, the policemen had also been paid to leave, which they were about to do. Wasim continued his talk. This temple is also known as the Moon Temple, and it was dedicated to the national god of the Sabaean state, who was called Al-Makka. As the Belgian girl translated, Wasim glanced again at the bearded man in Bedouin robes who was standing too close to his tour group. He wanted to say something to the man, but he was uneasy about him, and instead he said to his group, "This was 1,500 years before the Prophet Muhammad enlightened the world and vanquished the pagans." The panther, who also spoke English, nodded in approval at the guide's last statement. Again, Wasim stole a glance at the Bedouin, who had intruded even closer to his small tour group. The man, he thought, was not yet 40 years of age, though the beard and sun-browned skin made him appear older. Wasim also noticed now that the man was wearing the ceremonial jambiya, the curved dagger of Yemen, worn by all males in the north of the country. Even though Wasim had paid Sheikh Musa to keep the tribesmen at a distance, if this Bedouin asked for alms, Wasim would give him a few hundred rials and tell him to go in peace. Wasim again addressed his group. "This temple is believed by some who practice the American Mormon faith to be the place to which the Mormon prophet called Lehi fled from Jerusalem in the 6th century before the Common Era. It was here, according to Mormon scholars, where Lehi buried the prophet Ishmael. And when this was done, Lehi built a great ship for himself and his family and sailed to America." Annette translated, and one of the male tourists asked a question, which the young girl translated into English for Wasim, who smiled and answered, "Yes, as you can see, there is no ocean here. But in ancient times, it is believed there was much water here. Rivers, perhaps, from the great flood of Noah. If you look there to the west, you will see the mountains where the local tribes believe the Ark of Noah came to rest." The tourists took pictures of the distant mountains and didn't notice the bearded man climbing the steps toward them. Wasim, however, did notice, and he said to the Bedouin in Arabic, "Please, sir, this is a private tour group." The panther replied in English, "I am a poor man, sir, who comes to entertain the tourists in my finest tribal robe."